terrible town. With the price for our eyes, she'll squeeze them tight like a fist. And the walls shall have eyes, and the doors shall have ears. But we'll dance in the dark, and they'll play with their lives like this.
This is Comics Therapy, episode 62. No reviews, just analysis. I'm Aaron Myers, and my co-host, as always, for the most part, is Andrea Shockling.
Can we go back to that episode 62 thing?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe a little bird told me that you released an episode last week without telling me.
Oh, you mean when you were absent from the show? Because you just didn't feel like doing it?
You mean because I was in New York?
I guess. I don't know. You don't tell me anything. You just kind of disappear.
The entire internet knew that I was in New York, and you certainly knew that I wasn't going to do the show.
I just always assume every week you're not going to do the show, and I'm pleasantly surprised when you show up.
Fair enough.
So, let's just say you didn't disappoint me last week.
Keep going.
You just confirmed expectations.
Uh-huh.
Up this week, two comics from October 15th, 2014. Trees number 6 and Veil number 5. In between segments, listen to another second opinion. And just as a reminder, we never do reviews, but we do talk a lot, so there may be spoilers ahead.
So you did do an episode without me.
I informed our listening audience that you did not feel that they needed to hear from you last week.
Because I was in New York.
Sure. I mean, I guess. They don't have internet in New York.
What was I going to do? Not go to the con so that I could talk to you on the internet?
Sorry, I didn't realize, I mean, we're not even at that point. I didn't realize the convention was 24 hours a day.
Hey everyone, this is Sam, or at @smarks_ on Twitter, with this week's second opinion. Just a quick intro about myself. I started reading comics, I guess technically when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I don't remember too much of what I was reading, but I do know I was reading a lot of Gru, you know, up until I was about 10 or so, and then I kind of dropped off comics. And came back a little bit later when I was in college with Peter Bagg's Hate, which is still one of my favorite stories of all time. So, check out Hate.
Welcome to Comics Therapy. Neither Aaron nor I are licensed therapists, so don't take anything we say seriously. As we've discussed, it's been a while. Between Aaron's everlasting illness and New York Comic-Con, you probably thought we'd abandon you, and I thought about doing that too, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's October, and I'm actually in the mood for some good horror comics, and hopefully you're in the mood to listen to us talk about them, because that's my plan for the next 3 episodes. You are welcome. This week's theme is the slow burn, as applied to those frightening situations that tease and entice us, revealing just enough to keep us interested. These two comics play to and distort our need, my need mostly, to have all of the questions answered as soon as possible. And when they don't, it makes shit scarier.
How do I like to read comics? How do I like to read comics? Actually, this is a super easy one. Print, all the way. Never digital. No offense to digital. I'm sure it's great. It's just that I have a really crappy iPad, and they just look terrible and don't work that well for me. So... every now and then I will get a free book on Comicosity, but it just sits there unread. So single issues or trades, kind of, if I've already started collecting something in single issues, I'll stick with that. If I've already started collecting something in trades, I'll stick with that. You know, nice omnibuses are nice, but they're also pricey, so I'm actually okay with soft covers. LCS shout out. I guess, you know, my shop, I live in Portland and my shop is Excalibur, but I would definitely give a shout out to Floating World. I love Floating World. I go there as much as I can. Also, Cosmic Monkey is great. And also, a quick shout-out to Big Planet Comics in Washington, D.C. That's definitely where I got more into comics, and those guys are great. Thank you, Jared and Kevin and Nick. You guys are the best.
Each episode, in between comic segments, you'll hear one listener answering a series of questions, sharing his or her favorite comics, creators, and more. We call it a second opinion. And this week's is brought to you by Sam Marks. Sam coordinates exhibitors for the Small Press Expo, and he's a great resource for recommending independent comics creators. You can always call, Skype, or email your MP3 to us. Remember, read comics responsibly, kids, and always get a second opinion.
Favorite current title number one. What is my favorite current title? I guess I would say the Fade Out, but there's only been one issue, so that's... Does that work? I don't know. I'm just a huge Brubaker, Sean Phillips fan. I've been a big fan since Criminal. I love Sleeper. I love Incognito. I was all about Fatale. If Fatale was still running, I would have said Fatale was my favorite ongoing. But alas, it is over. So I guess I can't really say Fade Out because there's only been one issue, but I did love it. I gave it a 10 out of 10. So other than that, I would say maybe Deadly Class. Deadly Class is so good. I also love Black Science. Rick Remender is just killing it right now. Low, you know, again, only two issues, but just really, really good stuff.
In between shows, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron Myers and Andrea, when she has internet access, at Andrea Shaw.
I always have internet access. I just don't always want to talk to you.
The show account is at Comics Therapy.
Hi.
It's been so long.
It has. Gosh, you were sick for like a month.
Oh, I'm still sick.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I am not still in New York.
Well, for now.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. You're quite the jet setter. You just kind of take off without a moment's notice. Who knows where you'll show up next?
That's so patently untrue.
Is it? Is it really, though?
It is. It is. I am not spontaneous.
Hmm. You are more spontaneous than I am.
Yeah, but that's not a difference in spontaneity. That's a difference in flexibility.
Well, I don't know. I guess you're not spontaneous, but you seem to be a poor planner.
That's bullshit. I'm a very good planner.
I got lots of pictures from you from New York, and none of it seemed pertinent, interesting, or relevant to what you said you were doing.
I was hilarious, wasn't I?
To yourself.
Yeah, well, and everybody that I was with.
Sure.
God damn, we had a great time with that.
Great.
Maybe we should do a little, like, online photo album of all of the pictures I took for you, put them up on the Comics Therapy site, so that people can really see what you missed by not coming to New York.
Sure, do whatever you want. I don't even care. Do you want to tell me about your trip? Do you want to tell us, why, you know, you couldn't show up?
Show up where?
To the show.
Show up for the show because I was actually, you know, at a Comic-Con.
Sure.
Aaron, we did this for you like 3 weeks before that when you went to Rose City.
I wanted to do a show and you took that as an opportunity to bail. It's almost like you look for any kind of excuse.
At this point, I do.
I'll say it's raining outside. You'll say, oh, we should just skip the show this week.
It's not raining here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we couldn't skip.
Yep, I went to Pittsburgh, then I went to New York, then I went back to Pittsburgh, now I'm back in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was. Wonderful. It was a fucking spectacular show.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Really delightful people, really great conversations with everybody that we ran into. And yeah, I had not been to New York. I know that there was a lot of publicity this week about the attendance numbers actually surpassing those of San Diego. And having been to both this year, I don't know. I don't feel like I can actually assess that. I think the difference in the layouts of the actual facilities is so dramatically in favor of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
The Javits Center is not awesome, which is kind of a bummer.
But I hear the area around it is nice.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's fine. It's Midtown. And I know that area better than the rest of New York. That's where I've always, you know, stayed and worked. And so that was excellent. And the ability for the city to absorb the crowd is so much in New York's favor. And we talked about that a bunch throughout the course of the weekend, that it doesn't feel like once you get away from like immediately around the convention center, it doesn't feel like any different from any other day in New York. Whereas in San Diego, it's so dominated by all of these extra people.
Well, yeah. I mean, San Diego is a much smaller city, right, too.
So in that regard, New York was ideal times infinity. The fact that we could go to the con during the day and then go out at night and not have to plan around the thousands of other people who were dicking around in the city because they had their own things to do was sure. Awesome.
Hmm. Tell me your impression of the show itself.
Well, Artist Alley at New York is in a separate area, which is becoming more and more of a thing at mm-hmm. the larger cons. And I think that's fine. It was great. Artist Alley at New York Comic Con was where I spent the most of my time. And that was not unusual sentiment from at least the people that we're friends with. It was much more comic centered than just like media centered.
Right. Which is why I think it's new. That's why the news is more worthy of attendance numbers versus San Diego, mm-hmm. because San Diego now gets talked about as an arts and entertainment expo right. as opposed to a comic con.
Sure. Sure. It seemed like everybody was in a good mood. People were excited to talk with one another. The schedule wasn't too terribly taxing for anyone that I ran into. And mm-hmm. Some of the panels were exciting. Not a lot of brand new news that we hadn't already known about. So I'm trying to think if there was anything that was like truly like blew us away.
Yeah, there was some interesting movie news.
Remind me.
Like Suicide Squad is an interesting announcement.
But did that actually come out of New York Comic Con?
Yeah, that came out of New York, yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that. I didn't do any DC panels. I did a handful of Image panels, as always. David Brothers is the best facilitator of any of the panels that I've ever been to at a comic convention. So that's always like insightful and wildly entertaining. And Chip Zdarsky popped up at one that he wasn't invited to. So that's always amusing. Mm-hmm. And then the Marvel panels, because some of the information had already been leaked, there was not a huge need to go to like some of the later ones in the weekend. Mm-hmm. But certainly the like overview Marvel panels were actually pretty interesting.
Hmm. I'm jealous for you.
You almost slipped. Mm-hmm. You almost admitted that you wished that you had been there.
No, absolutely. New York, for me, I think that would be a hard one for me to do kind of ever. Because it's such a haul.
Sure.
Like at least you're in San Francisco, you can get on a plane in San Francisco.
Right.
Like, to get to New York from Eugene, I'd have to fly to Portland or Seattle first, and then maybe find, you know, a direct flight or something. You know, it's a huge travel commitment.
Well, it wasn't a small travel commitment for me. It's just that I used it as an opportunity to go to Pittsburgh first, visit with my family, and then bob up to New York, which is like a half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't foresee it for myself for many years.
I get it. To be honest, Aaron, I don't think that it's as much your thing as, like, I'm excited if you're going to come to Emerald City. I think that that will be more your bag.
Yeah, yeah. And a little more regional or coastal.
I don't know. We also talked about the fact that none of us know what to expect for Emerald City this year because the numbers are so distorted from the past several years that I've been there.
Right.
Like the fact that the tickets are almost sold out and hotels have been sold out since September. I mean, that's just a totally different schedule than it has been on in the past. And who the fuck knows? It could be a nightmare. It could be like the opposite of fun because all of a sudden it's super, super crowded. But I don't know. I love Seattle and I have faith that it's going to be equally as enjoyable as New York was.
Well, with these attendance numbers, though, are you seeing people that, you know, it's not fair weather fans, but new fans, I guess?
I have absolutely no ability to assess that. Hmm. And there is no way.
Not being
way
really
that,
a fan of comics yourself?
Shut up. I mean, seriously, there's no way that you could just look at a crowd and pick out, like, what does that even mean?
No, but I think the way I see it is by Artist Alley attendance.
Artist Alley was fucking slammed all weekend. We went on Thursday, and it was a little bit easier to move around, and that was great because we did, like, most of our shopping and had our touch-base conversations with people on Thursday because it was quieter. But Friday and Saturday and Sunday was crazy town in Artist Alley, which I hope translates to, like, successful sales for our, like, our friends who had tables there, but... Mm-hmm. I have no way of actually assessing, like, the types of people in the crowd.
No, but even if it's new fans, the fans that seek out the creators themselves as opposed to vendors and back issue buyers,
right,
is a different, it's a different kind of level of fandom, I guess.
But, like, what does that even mean, new fan?
Someone who has gotten into comics, I would say, in the last 5 years.
Okay.
So I'd almost consider myself a new fan of comics.
Okay.
Because I had stopped reading them in the late 90s.
Do you only read comics really... now, Aaron Myers?
I do read comics now.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm becoming a fan of them.
Oh, cool.
But it's only been, really, 5 years since I started reading them again.
I don't know. I just would hesitate to make any sort of sweeping statement about attendees, just, I don't know, because that's
I'm not quantifying it. There's different, but there are different fans of comics, and there are different attendees of comic cons.
Right.
And I'm not putting a value judgment on any of them. I'm just, you can quantify the kind of person that is going by what they're there to see.
Well, I can tell you again that Artist Alley at New York Comic Con is A, ginormous, and B, fucking slammed the entire time.
See, that's great. Whereas you hear a lot of stories about San Diego of it being packed with people, but they're not necessarily there for comics, you know, or to meet people who make comics. Mm-hmm. They're there for TV and movie announcements.
Got it.
You know, they're there for toys, games, other stuff.
Sure.
Or just to go because it's now, you know, that's part of, like, the San Diego culture.
Right.
So, you know, just like I did in 2003 through 2008.
Right.
We just went because we got tickets, and I just walked around for 4 hours, and we left.
You'll do better next time.
We'll see. We'll see. We can talk about comics if you want.
I want to talk about how fucking amazing Deadly Class was this week, even though it's not on our agenda.
Sure.
I just want to say that it is very rare that a single issue is as flawless as that issue was. That's all. That's all I want to say.
Hmm. You mean it's a book about young teenagers that kind of appeals to everyone?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that, like, here is a single issue of this comic, and as a standalone issue, it was so perfect that I, like, actually am having a hard time thinking of something else that I have read recently that in a single, like, single issue format was as much of a masterpiece.
Hmm.
Those are not words that I throw around lightly.
Certainly not.
So, that's all. We don't have to analyze it. We don't have to rhetoricize it. We don't have to do anything about it at all. I just want to say it was really fucking amazing.
I would agree. The only thing, books like that, and it's a different kind of book entirely, but, like, Miss Marvel, another kind of shining star this week.
I haven't read it yet.
But those kind of books have been making me think lately because of the characters in them, compared to other books that might have come out the week before.
I read a handful of books from last week while I was in New York. Did I mention that I was in New York?
You did.
Oh, okay. Did. Right. Okay. Yeah. But I haven't read everything from last week yet, and I am, like, woefully behind this week because I'm actually super exhausted.
I think you read this one.
I read Avengers last week.
Did you read Batgirl?
Yeah, I read Batgirl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've been mulling that kind of stuff over for a while.
What kind of stuff would that be?
Well, in comparison, like, where you take Deadly Class or Miss Marvel, and compare that to Batgirl.
I don't know if I'm interested in making that comparison, actually.
With Deadly Class or anything?
None of those books are, like, what's on the docket this week. But that being said...
No, that's fine.
My point in mentioning Deadly Class was not the premise, was not, like, the existing arc, was not to look closely at the art or at the writing or anything like that. It was just to point out that it's actually pretty rare that a single issue can be so complete. Like, that I felt so fulfilled at the end of those 22 whatever pages. That it stood alone as something that was, like, pretty fucking flawless. As opposed to being part of a larger story. Which, of course, it is. But...
That's fine, Andrea. You had your say. I was making a different point. It's not always about you.
Sorry.
Come on.
Go.
See, this is what happens when you take a couple weeks off.
Was it actually 2 weeks?
I don't know. It feels like it. 2 glorious weeks.
I feel like it's actually what happens when I talk to people other than you.
That you make it all about yourself?
No, that I actually have opinions.
Oh, well, yeah. We gotta work on that. Time to reset.
Do you want to tell me what you were thinking about Batgirl and Ms. Marvel?
Well, I was told a lot, like, last week and, you know, whenever it came out, 2 weeks ago, that it wasn't for me. You know, that people liked it, but it wasn't for me. And so that's, you know, that's why I don't like it.
But, like, you're not the target audience.
Right, right.
Okay.
And so I kind of accepted that. And then this week, reading, you know, Deadly Class, I don't think quite fits into that category. Even though the characters are teenagers, it's a different tone. So more Miss Marvel.
Okay.
And how that book isn't for me either. It's the same audience as Batgirl, if you're gonna take that argument. And they are vastly different books.
Yes.
So, I don't know, I've been a little frustrated with fandom this week.
You've been frustrated with the dismissal of your opinion because you're not the target audience.
Right, and saying that I don't get to analyze, critique, or, you know, or have any kind of judgment that I get to, but it's not valid because it's not for me.
Right.
But that's bullshit.
Why is that bullshit?
Because a good book is a good book.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what the target audience is. You know, the target audience for both of those books are the same, I would say.
I don't actually agree with that, but we can argue about that later.
Okay. Or similar. You could say it's a similar demographic.
Sure.
In terms of looking at who the characters are.
Okay.
How they're portrayed. You know, they're very similar.
Okay.
Miss Marvel is a fantastic book. And Batgirl was a steaming pile of crap.
Tell me how you really feel, Aaron Myers.
I'm sorry. There's just no way around it. I mean, maybe it gets better. But the hype around this single issue and what was promised was... It was awful.
So... Ultimately, you're frustrated because that's your opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Your opinion is that, like...
That's a reductive kind of... that's my my tweet-length review.
Right. That you hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're frustrated because you've been told that you don't actually get to tell anybody that you hate it because you weren't the target audience, so it doesn't matter that you hated it.
Right, right.
But the corollary to that is that you love Ms. Marvel. Right. And so you don't actually get to love that either because you're not the target audience.
Sure. And to me, the argument, though, is if I'm not the target audience for a book, and the difference being it's not even a matter of opinion, though. It's a matter of quality and execution.
But that is inherently subjective.
I agree. I also don't think it's wrong to place weight upon one person's judgment versus another's.
We do that every week, Aaron.
Yeah, I know.
Wait.
And I'm okay saying my opinion matters than other people's in some cases.
I can tell that you're sort of wrestling with how you feel about this, because you're usually like more complete with your articulation of like what's wrong with the State of the Union than you are right now. Like, I mean, sincerely, I can tell that, and I know, because we've talked about this, that you're kind of thinking a lot about this and a lot about the way that the conversation played out in regards to Batgirl Online and how defensive both sides have gotten over that book.
Right, and there's just not really a discussion about it. There's not an objective discussion.
Right, but I think that's really difficult
That was the most frustrating part.
I am struggling with aspects of this also, and I think that the defensiveness is really alienating. And I agree. I agree that we are at this kind of difficult crossroads about what is the role of a critical response in comics.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the art of criticism, where an informed opinion, an educated opinion, the ability to break something down into its parts and into its essence and talk about the elements of that medium is actually valuable to like all parties. And that doesn't happen as often as I think that some of us wish it did in comics. So those conversations are happening like all around us right now. It's not just you, it's not just me, but there's no resolution.
No, I guess not. I mean, it is a product of the internet age that everyone gets to voice an opinion. It's just a matter of, I guess, the listener to cultivate who they seek out and whose opinions they find to be have merit.
How is that any different from life? I think the internet gives you access to more, but I mean, I do that with like actual people in my life all the time.
Sure, but prior to having the internet age, like if you looked at media and journalism, we didn't really get a choice whose voices we heard or who became the authorities on certain matters.
Okay.
Because they were cultivated for us.
Okay.
And they are to an extent now, but it's a wide open system that you get a lot more noise in the background.
That's exactly what it is. There is a hierarchy, but there's a hierarchy with noise.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It still allows for the individual to decide for themselves, like, how to pick through that noise.
Sure. It's almost as convenient and how time-saving internet stuff can be. It also can be very time-consuming in that regard, too. Mm-hmm. So, you're right. I don't have a very articulate opinion on this. It's just, hey, whatever. I have a free podcast that I set up myself because I can, because it's the internet. And so I can express uninformed and half-assed opinions.
You know that's not what I meant. I just mean that, like, you're sort of in the midst of deciding how you feel about this because it's very much happening, like, right now.
I think there are certain books, when it comes to comics, that take a higher level of importance because of what they represent, how they're sold to us, and, you know, the quote-unquote audience they're attracting.
Absolutely.
So, sometimes I break my negativity silence in terms of that.
And you did with Batgirl.
I did with another one, too. Death of Wolverine.
Oh, yes, you did.
I don't feel as strongly about that. I just felt that was sort of whatever.
Yeah, but that's sort of par for the course, right?
Kind of. You can have a good event. We don't have to live in an age where it's like, yeah, every event's going to suck.
No, that's not what I mean. When you build an event around the death of a character, though.
Man, I don't know. Death of Superman still is a high point for me.
I didn't read it. Doesn't matter.
Oh, that is so ingrained in my DNA. And maybe part of it is because of age and timing and everything else. But I still go back and read it. Like, it's a powerful story. And we didn't get that with, like, I don't know if Wolverine is
not
quite on the same level as Superman.
That's a dangerous comparison just because of that.
But he is still one of the biggest comic book characters.
Sure.
Of the modern age.
Sure. So I'll miss him for the 2 or 3 years that he's gone.
He won't even be that long. Right. I mean, it's that's the conceit we live in these days, too, where everyone comes back.
Right.
So that is not nearly as, interesting, important, or worth debating as, say, Batgirl.
Yeah, I'm sort of over debating all of that right now.
Yeah, because you're living the vacation life.
No, I've swung back around to being defensive again. You know, like it's one thing to have the luxury of the internet, to have a forum for sharing your opinions. It's another thing to actively engage with that level of debate, like, all of the time. It's exhausting. And it's frustrating when you can't shut off the debate. When you can't, like, that's what makes me get defensive. It's like, I'm done. I don't need to talk about it anymore. I said everything I needed to say. It doesn't have to come back up again. And yet, that's what the internet is for. Nothing ever dies on the internet, not even Wolverine.
That made me laugh.
It's hard to tell. It sounded like you were dying.
Sure. I'll be back.
So, you know how the theme this week was the slow burn? I kind of feel like we're contributing to that by not fucking talking about comics.
Look, it's been like 6 weeks since we've talked to each other. I got Did a lot of stuff to me? Talk about. No, I just miss talking, spouting into a microphone.
Did you miss me?
I just need a voice on the other side.
Come on, did you miss me?
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Aaron.
Sure, I missed you.
You want to talk about some comics?
I guess we could talk about a couple. I kind of feel like we talked about a bunch already.
Let's talk about the ones that we were supposed to talk about.
All right.
Another really good title that I'm reading. Crap, that's a, I do like a lot of different things. I would say Daredevil, maybe. I do love the Wade Samney run of Daredevil, though I will admit that I haven't been wild about these original tie-in or original Sin tie-in issues, though they haven't been terrible. They just I want more Chris Samney art. What can I say? Daredevil has always been a favorite character of mine, so Daredevil is definitely up there. Finally, I would definitely want to plug Rachel Rising. Everybody likes Rachel Rising. Terry Moore is great. I'm just amazed that he's putting out all that stuff. So read more Rachel Rising.
Our first book this week is Trees Number 6. It's written by Warren Ellis, with art by Jason Howard. Lettering is by Phonographics. Trees is published by Image Comics.
10 years ago, we learned that there was intelligent life in the universe. We also learned they didn't think the same about us. Such a creepy premise. We have these huge structural things that just appeared all around the globe, right on top of what was already there. No interaction, no communication. Sometimes they leak waste all over the area beneath them, totally annihilating anything remaining, but most of the time they're just there. At one of the trees in the Arctic, a team of researchers discovers biomechanical flowers are growing in and around the base. Finally, shit is happening, but it's probably not going to be very pleasant.
Probably not.
Nope.
Aliens are never very pleasant.
Seems kind of nasty, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far the horror of this book, though, is kind of the human interaction.
I don't know. I think that the impending doom, like, over everybody is the part that is really, like, building the suspense and building the tension.
But it's both, I think you have two sides of it, because you've got doom. You have doom in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So, like, Brazil.
Right.
You kind of had the waste expulsion kind of thing, it's very unsettling.
But that's happened in other places, we just didn't see it.
New York, the doom is more the what humanity has done to the earth. The polar ice caps have melted and, the waters rose and New York is flooded and, that had nothing to do with the aliens coming.
Wait a second. Go back.
Hmm.
That's what's happening in New York?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like months ago. When that, like, first, I'm trying to remember when we find out about, like, why there's water in New York.
Yeah, it's like the first issue, I think.
Or the second.
Something. Anyway. But then you've got China, which I think I find very hopeful.
The artist's colony, like the anything goes area, is kind of
right. The city surrounding the tree is sort of exempt from the kind of tyranny of the rest of the Chinese government.
Yeah, but shit's gonna go down there. Like, you know, it's too hopeful. Like, that's the.
Sure, but isn't that almost the human experience in a lot of ways?
Well, I think the expectation when you have like horror building, mm-hmm. is that the people that you kind of love the best are the ones who are going to die the most horribly.
Sure, yeah.
That's the standard operating procedure, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, that's fine. You live fast, have orgies, and die of toxic waste from a alien spaceship.
Or any other possible thing that hasn't happened yet. Like, there's definite promise with the flowers popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, growing out of the dude, and that's fucking creepy, and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, it's I think that's not a new concept, like the kind of the creepiness of aliens coming and terraforming the Earth.
Certainly. You
know, with us still here.
Certainly. And like, we're in the way as just something to be, like an obstacle, not something to be negotiated with.
Sure. Yep. Like, I don't think a lot of people watched it, but that Tom Cruise movie, Oblivion?
Nope.
It's sort of about that, like, you know, an alien harvester comes and just kind of, you know, starts stripping resources.
Yeah, I think this is more insidious, though, and I think that's why I find it really appealing, because the stuff that happened around the flowers, am I wrong? There was, like, some fucking hallucinating weirdness with that also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just to think of another super creepy alien type movie, like the hallucinations from, what is it, Event Horizon?
Like, oh, sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that is one of the things that I find super, super frightening in almost any setting, is like the inability to tell what is real and what isn't real. And who is manipulating those interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're in a world where, like, the aliens have control over the technology, right? Because the flowers made all of the instruments go haywire. And then we can't really tell what is there and what isn't there. And, like, creepy faces and, I don't know, fucking babies and shit chasing them out of that room. Like, that's the stuff of nightmares for me, and I'm excited to see if that, along with the human element that you were describing in some of these different locales that we've seen around the world, can start to, like, really get, like, extra, extra crazy and extra scary.
Well, or you have, like, Event Horizon, that kind of thing feels like more side effect, you know, from an encounter. So,
okay.
So it's, right now we don't know if it's side effect, or if it's intentional...
Just fucking, you know, with them.
Or, you know, it's intentional kind of bridging for communication.
Oh, you mean like the...
So you, the have, implication, you have the kind of movies and stories benign? Where... Not necessarily benign. It might not matter in terms of when you're talking about like an alien race, you know, consequence, feeling, that sort of thing. Because it wouldn't be the same. But it's more... You know, that's something scientists kind of think about a lot. Like, if we encountered another alien race, the thought patterns, biology, communication, everything else, are not going to be similar at all. You know,
sure.
The idea of the universal translator works for TV, like Star Trek and TV shows, but it's not realistic for when we make contact.
Isn't that what's kind of inherently so horrific, though? Like, that's what makes this scary.
Well, that's the idea of alien in any kind of regard.
Mm-hmm.
It's so outside of anything we understand. Then where are your footholds? Where are your touchstones, mm-hmm. to start communication?
Right. And so that's like the physical manifestation of what I was describing with the hallucinations, where You don't know what's real and you don't know what isn't, because real isn't the same when it's alien.
Mm-hmm. But you right now, I think your feeling is horror with this book. I don't know if we're there yet. It could go the way of like Cosmos.
I guess. Where,
you know, where you have aliens contact us that are far more advanced than we are, but there are constants within the universe that we can communicate and start to bridge, you know, communication from, and it could be a good thing.
I think my feeling is creepy, mm-hmm. which leads to scary, which leads to horror.
Well, you've always been a xenophobe, though.
That's not true.
You always have feared the other.
I always have a lot of fears, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing way better with that than I was when we first started talking.
Okay. You've come a long way.
I have. I'm super excited about the entertainment of being scared.
Hmm.
It's not totally new for me. I mean, that's something that I feel like I have struggled with acknowledging since I was a kid. Like, why is this appealing and yet also sort of the worst?
Hmm.
And now I'm able to work through it and just be like, yeah, okay, I enjoy that feeling of being really fucking scared. And
You've embraced it.
I've embraced it, I guess, in some ways.
Hmm. Can I tell you my feelings on this book?
I assume that you would, even if I said no.
Sure. I see this as the characterizations in the characters in this book
mm-hmm.
are representative of the experience humanity is having with alien visitation. So you have a Chinese boy who comes out of, you know, a very rural or strict upbringing to discover kind of the possibilities, the vastness, the you know, all the shades of gray of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have a couple of people, where are they, in Greece, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, where the female character is learning to kind of grow and emerge out of the role she's played her whole life. Okay. And becoming her own individual.
Yes.
And et cetera, et cetera. And then, well, then I think the creepy part, but the interesting part, is the scientist in the Arctic, who is now maybe literally changing from one species to another.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about evolution and change and growing outside of what we are.
But you keep spinning that as, I'm not going to say positive, but not negative.
Well, nature doesn't put positive or negative. It just is. It's force.
Nature finds a way, Aaron Myers.
Sure. Whether it comes from another planet or not. You know, we put value judgments on it. But evolution is just evolution.
We put value judgments on evolution, is what you're saying?
Or emotional change or biological change. You know, it's science built around different pressures. But we ascribe different values to that.
Hmm. Okay.
So humanity is always getting in the way of all the other forces. You know, we're the ones fighting against the natural order of things.
That's a different kind of scary.
That is. But that goes to human nature, too. So we have this kind of inherent fear of change, even though everything around us and ourselves are constantly changing.
We do. And I think that that's one of the reasons why when something is changing slowly, or we don't have access to all of the information about how it's going to change or why it's changing, that is what freaks us out as a people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not actually just me who wants all of the answers from the very beginning. I don't think that that's terribly unusual. And it's something that people have, that people use to reassure themselves that the changes that are coming are, like, within their wheelhouse, that they can prepare themselves accordingly. And so when you have a premise like in Trees, where there are no answers at all, there are just more questions, like, that the global stress level in this world is significantly higher than it is in like ours today, just because of the fear of the unknown, because there are no answers.
Well, maybe not this week.
Right, but that's the point of.
No, I'm just saying the global stress levels are pretty high this week.
Well, right.
But in general, yes.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for bringing it back to reality.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're all going to die of Ebola.
That was not funny.
No, it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just got real. You want to talk about something else that's real and scary?
It's not real. That's why we can talk about it, because... it's definitely not real. There's no such thing as what is in this next book.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Recommend a past series. Oh, well, I'm going to very, very semi-obviously, if you know me at all, go with Charles Burns' Black Hole. Black Hole is probably my favorite graphic novel of all time. Originally put together by Fantagraphics, republished by Pantheon. I think they put together, yeah, Pantheon. It's dark, it's spooky, it's, Charles Burns' art really does a lot for me. I love all of his stuff. He just had Sugar Skull come out, which is the third piece of X-Stout and The Hive, and I'm really excited to read it. So Charles Burns, huge shout out to Charles Burns. Pretty much anything he's done, I would recommend. I would definitely say Black Hole, and also Hate, Peter Bagg's Hate. I mentioned it before. If people aren't reading that, jump on it, man. It's so, so good. And then finally, there was something else. Oh, Wonton Soup. James Stokoe's Wonton Soup. I got that for my birthday recently. Oni just recently re-released all of the volumes in one nice $20 volume, and it is killer. Wonton Soup, it's about a guy, and he's in space, and he's cooking, and there's some cooking battles, and it's just totally badass.
Our second book this week is Veil Number 5. It's written by Greg Rucka and drawn by Tony Fijula. Colors are by Aloja Tomnik and Tony Fazula, with assistance by Talon Kelly. Lettering is by Nate Pekalos.
Picos.
This is the final issue of Veil, a miniseries published by Dark Horse Comics.
Those were hard names. You did an admirable job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any information about the correct pronunciations, or I would have tried to help you.
I tried my best.
You did.
And I apologize for the obvious mispronunciation.
Good job. Okay, Veil. Mysterious naked girl, rats, magic, demons, female empowerment. Wait, what? This mini-series started with a lot of questions. Who is she? Why can she do what she can do? What is she? And over time, it became clear that there were darker forces at play than just a bunch of rats in the subway.
Yeah. So what was your initial feeling of this series before this issue?
You mean what was my initial feeling about the series from the very beginning, or where did I think it was going to be resolved?
So before this issue.
The fourth issue came out 100 years ago.
Sure. So
where did you... I reread everything.
Honestly, I thought the series had ended with the fourth issue.
Oh, womp womp.
Well, I read the fifth issue. But before this, I thought that was the end of the series. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's an interesting way to end it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth issue actually ends it.
And resolves things.
Yes.
Yes. No, it went much, much deeper into a specific... demonic presence and control than I thought it was going to be at the beginning. So for me,
but did you find this as a to have like weird overtones of kind of female ownership and kind of like these power control struggles between male like the men and women, that kind of thing?
Yes. Absolutely. I think that and that is probably not a surprise, given Greg Rucka has a very well documented opinion about the importance of writing female characters with agency, and is interested in exploring some of those themes in non-traditional ways. But even setting that aside, I was not expecting the lack of answers in regards to, like, Vale's actual story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get very little about who she was. She's come from hell, presumably, mm-hmm. right? We don't know, like, why she isn't inherently evil. We don't know why she was chosen specifically, especially given her proclivity to, like, not follow directions and, like, you know, be her own person. And so I'm left at the end feeling like there are so many things that I don't have the answers to, and that's okay given the resolution. But in a like larger kind of horror setting, it doesn't feel like an ending so much as it feels like one chapter closes and another chapter could open.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that, you know, that goes to, it's not scary. It's hopeful.
You keep using the word hopeful, and maybe you and I just have different definitions of hope.
Yeah, I think I have it.
What, you don't think that I am a hopeful person?
I think your hope is tempered by years of disappointment.
Ouch.
Could you hear it in my voice that sometimes it's hard for me to deliver scathing lines to you without cracking myself up? I'm just saying, I have a good time talking to you.
Yes, I provide a valuable service so that you can feel better about yourself. We've discussed this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
No, I guess I understand what you mean in terms of the ending being hopeful because, like, she is left to, like, pursue her life. I mean, life seems like such a stupid way to reduce what she has left. But
she's no longer a slave to her masters.
Correct. But again, going back to, like, all of the questions, I don't know what that leaves her with. Here are some questions that I have about this kind of story.
Okay.
What happens when she dies? Can she die? Who was her master? Et cetera, et cetera. Like, we opened this wormhole of, like, demons and hell and magic and, like, fucking crazy, scary shit that is not actually answered at the end. It's not over, because presumably, like, the forces of evil still exist, right? Like, they didn't battle for anything other than her. It wasn't a battle to save all of mankind or anything.
Okay, but that's not a fair ask for 5 issues.
Okay.
It isn't.
I'm not necessarily asking for it. I'm observing that I still have questions.
That's fine.
You know, I'm not judging, I'm processing.
Okay, that's fair. But, I mean, there's a lot of stories that end on an arc rather than a final resolution.
It's true. And I am, quite honestly, like, all snark aside, that is something that I am becoming more comfortable with. Like, the unknown as a storytelling device, slowly peeling back the layers of what's happening, and then maybe not understanding everything used to be very unappealing to me. But now, because, like, I have a total fear of the unknown. So I think that makes sense. But, like, now I understand that, and I appreciate that as a way of crafting, like, a more complex story that doesn't have to tie everything up in a neat little bow at the end.
It's called using your imagination.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron.
Yes. So I'm giving you full agency to start doing that again.
Thanks. God, It's almost like I'm a well-written, strong, empowered female character.
I release you from your bonds, your shackles of the need to have everything laid out and answered for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I empower you to think for yourself, to create story and a vast and rich world inside your own mind.
Okay. Are you done?
Sure. Am I?
I don't know.
Or does this story continue?
Oh.
There you go. I think we're done with this show.
Forever? Or just this episode?
Just this episode. You know, this is a getting to know us episode again. We're reconnecting. We're finding the story of us.
You missed us. I did miss us. Aww.
I feel I've recovered a little bit of my strength. You've come back from your travels abroad.
It was just fucking New York, dude. It wasn't abroad.
And and it'll be back to normal. And we'll be back to our normal flow next week.
What I wanted to do was just talk about how amazing New York was. But I feel like I showed a lot of restraint.
You did, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You've shown a lot of growth as a person this episode.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I like the evolution. It's like every time I think I know you, you surprise me. And I like that I don't know everything.
I want to keep reading scary books this month, though.
Okay.
Like, actual scary books. I can handle it. Because I'm evolving.
Okay. Great. Well, there's a new Walking Dead out.
Oh, man. I'd have to get caught up. I didn't read past 106.
Oh, that's a good idea. We should do that for maybe the last weekend. You know, we're getting almost done with this month, aren't we?
Well, we have two more episodes in October that I figure we can do scary books. And so if one of those is wasn't The Walking Dead already out this month?
No, it's out next week.
Shit, that's a lot of reading.
Well, I have faith in you.
Hmm. Do you?
I sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll see what I can do. Maybe we'll do a surprise. I'm not sure that it actually is like grief counseling anymore.
No.
I think I really am okay.
Yeah, now it's just trauma assessment.
Nicely done.
Triage.
All
right, well, we'll see what next week brings. I missed you too. Oh, thank you. I know.
Wow. Now I take it back.
Too late. Burned to bits forever.
Right.
All right, well, I guess we'll see everyone next week. I want to say thanks to everyone for listening to another episode of Comics Therapy.
And for putting up with the absence for, like, so many weeks, because it's been at least 7 or 8 or 12 weeks since we recorded, at least.
So, in case you've forgotten, don't forget to pre-order your comics at your local shop or subscribe to them digitally. You know, show notes and other details, like pictures from the Comic-Con, are on our site, as always, on comicstherapy.com.
Can I put them up?
Yeah.
Like my actual pictures or the ones where I was just making fun of you?
You can do whatever you want. Aww. You own 49% of the show.
I do.
So we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
And then finally, personal project, give a shout out. I would love to give a shout out to... Oh, crap. Who was I going to give a shout out to? Oh, Zach Soto in Study Group Comics. They have Study Group 3D coming out. It should probably be out right now. It's a magazine. It's in 3D. It has a ton of comics in 3D, which is great. So can't go wrong there. I also wanted to give out a shout out to my friend Ed Luce of Wovable Oaf. Wovable Oaf, there's, you know, a whole bunch of single issues, but the Fantagraphics is going to be doing a collected series soon. So definitely check out Wovable Oaf. And finally, if you're going to be a short run in Seattle, I think that's in November. Love to see you there. Otherwise, I'll definitely be back in Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con, and I think Rose City Comic Con is this week, but I don't know when this is going up. So you guys are awesome. Thank you. And I'm Sam.
Now that I have captured your attention, I want to steal you for rhythm and invention. Mr. T, you say I'm ready for inspection. Show me how you make a first impression. Oh.